All right, guys, welcome back, EYL. This is the episode that I'm actually very excited about.
It's a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's gonna be a big one. I can feel it. I can feel it. So, you know, we like doing episodes like this where it's stuff that you see all the time, but you never really think about it.
It's part of your daily life, especially as kids. You definitely is part of your daily life, and even as adults. You know, you go to your lunchroom or something like that. It's like,
yeah, we see a lot of stuff all the time, and we don't realize like the money's all around us. We ask where the money's at. Money's all around us.
Yeah, these episodes tend to do that, man. I'm telling you, ever since we did some of these like a trucking episode, every time I see a truck on the road, I'm like, that's money passing. I wonder who owns that. I'm looking at the names on the truck. I'm like, damn, your vision just changed.
Yeah. So without further ado, we got a very special guest, Kashif Edwards from Philadelphia, North Philly, to be specific. Philly. Shout out to Philly. We had a lot of great guests from Philly recently. We had we had Prince Darnell and Dana Chanel. They was the first ones.
Yeah.
And then we had
Sean Bullard.
Sean Bullard. Shout out to Sean.
Shout out to the Bullard.
Shout out to Sean Bullard for sure. And then we had Prince Darnell and Dana Chanel. Then we had Brother Wallow 267. Then we had Big Business. Shout out to Big Business.
North Philly.
So this is keeping right in line. This is keeping right in line with the Philly ties. So
Philly got a high standard.
So he's ill. He started playing basketball, and but now he's known for the vending machine. The vending machine king on social media. If you follow him, crazy following on social media, and he teaches people about vending machines. So he owns vending machines himself. Over 20 vending machines that he owns himself, and he's been doing it for quite some time. And like I said, I'm excited to know about this because everybody has seen vending machines. Like,
we've all used them.
You always see it in school and camp and recreation centers.
Hospitals.
Everywhere there's always vending machines, right? When it's like you never really think, or at least I never really thought, like that's an actual viable business.
Yeah.
But he makes money, obviously, doing it, and he's teaching people how to do it. So we're going to get a full education on the vending machine business. So first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Welcome to EYL, man.
Thank y'all.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right. So before we get into the details of it, how'd you start? Like, because like I said, vending machine is something that all of us see all the time. We always see vending machines, right? But what made you actually take a step back and say, like, this is actually something I can make money on?
Well, I mean, the main thing was for the most part, I was working a lot. I was trying to look for something to supplement, you know, my income that I was already getting that was passive so I wouldn't have to do more work. So, you know, that's what kind of led me to the vending machine thing. But it initiated as far as the idea of having a vending machine when I was younger, when I was playing basketball. It was a recreation center in particular I used to always play at on Sundays when we had practice. And during the midst of the practice, it was always a vending machine lady would come out and change out the products and the money from the Gatorade machine. So I always saw her coming in and out and grabbing the money and changing out the products. And it was just something I paid attention to because I was always noticed like she took a good amount of money out of that machine. So
I'm watching your pocket.
Right. So I was like, you know, I wonder how much money is actually, you know, in there, how much money she getting. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, I want one of those machines. But, you know, it just didn't happen until obviously years later because I was like 16, 17 at that point in time.
Now, you know what's crazy? I'm just thinking when you're telling that story, I don't think I ever saw anybody take. I've seen people fill up vending machines.
Yeah.
In my entire life, I don't think I ever saw anybody take money out of a vending machine before. Maybe they do it like.
They don't want you to see.
They probably do it like 3 o'clock in the morning when nobody's there.
They know that this dude's like, hey,
watch. Exactly.
They don't want you to see. That's a lesson I learned too, is not to let people see what you're taking out of that machine. Because I actually had one spot that I was working with. It was a motel, you know, and the owner would always kind of peep and watch what I was doing. And then, you know, he would see me taking the money out. Then one day he was like, man, I want that machine. You know, I ended up selling it to him, and it was one of my best spots, but it was like, man, I'm not letting nobody else.
Yeah.
I'm doing it with nobody. Do a real smooth, hold the bag up, you know, close to the part. Like, so, you know, I'm real careful with that now. I don't let people actually see how I'm moving and taking the money out. Filling it up is nothing, but I'm careful with the money.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that for sure. So, all right, so what's your journey to get your first vending machine? Like, how did that look? Like, what was the story behind that?
The journey to get my first vending machine was actually a two-year process. So the idea was like something I'm thinking like, all right, I got the idea in my head. I'm about to do it today. Like, but the actual process took a long time because I had nobody really to teach me what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of, you know, fumbling around to figure it out. So when I made up my mind that I actually wanted to get a vending machine, I saved up some money. I figured out where to get them from, just from searching online. I found the company who actually places machines, and they sell you the machine. Like, so I contacted them. They gave me the price. I saved up that money. It was only like probably $3,500 or something like that. And they gave me a location with a machine. So I go to actually check out the spot. It was a decent spot. It was a hotel downtown in Philly. So I'm like, oh yeah, this looks good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Hotel should be great. And then the guy actually showed me where they wanted the machine placed. So I'm looking at the space. I'm like, I don't think a vending machine is gonna fit right there. I was like, there's no other way we can put it. Like,
it was too small.
Yeah, I'm like, can we put it in the lobby or something? Like, no, we want it right here. And you know, so at that point in time, I called the company that I was buying the machine from. They were coming from Maryland, so I called them. I'm like, yeah, I don't think the machine is gonna fit in this space. You know, that they're talking about having the machine placed. We might have to go a different route. They was like, no, it's gonna fit. Trust us, you know, we've been doing this a long time. Don't worry about it. We got it.
There's different type of machines. Is this machine selling snacks, sodas, beverages?
So this was a combo machine.
Okay.
So their thing was, okay, it's a small machine and it should fit in any space. Like, this was one of the smallest machines that we got. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna be good. I'm looking like it's not gonna be good. And this is what actually taught me a lesson down the line. Like, you know, before you actually go out and buy machines, you know, you gotta figure out your measurements and everything first. But you know, so I tell them that they take that 2-hour drive from Maryland, come all the way down here. Long story short, the machine doesn't fit. So it doesn't fit. I get my money back. Now I'm back at the drawing board trying to figure out, all right, well, how am I gonna get another machine? So I ended up blowing some of that money, obviously. You know, I was burning a hole in my pocket.
That didn't work.
That didn't work. So I'm buying this, I'm buying that, and I'm like, I got a couple dollars left. But I still need to do something. So I ended up spending about $400 on some candy machines. Okay. So when I say candy machines, I'm talking about gumball machines that you put the quarters in, turn. You get the money out. The ones I got were called a U-turn. So they were called U-turn machines.
Is that the ones like I put the quarters, spin, and then
Right. You had the gumballs, the Skittles, peanut M&Ms.
Those always seem really unsanitary to me. Because there's no packaging on it. It just comes out as is.
I've been in barbershops where I've never seen them change. So I'm like, yo, how did somebody make money? I'm not even thinking that you're making money off this. I'm just this is like a nice little treat. Until nobody changes.
Yeah. So that's pretty much where I started. I brought four of them from a guy who had a whole bunch of them, but he was liquidating some of his. He had like 40 of them. He was selling like 20. I brought four from him. I had one placed in a barbershop, like you just said, a recreation center, and I think it was a pizza store.
And these are gumball machines.
So okay. I had them placed in a pizza store, and the other one I ended up not placing at that time. I just kept it in my house. So I started with those, and I seen the money back off of that, which was like a little, you know, it was a little something, like a little extra spending money, but it was nothing really to move the needle. So I'm like, man, if I could just get a couple more of these, you know, maybe.
How much was that? Like a month, like a couple hundred.
So my average machine for the gumballs was like, I was getting like $50 a machine. So I'm looking at like
a month.
Yeah. So I'm looking at like extra $150. I ain't got to really do nothing for. All I do is, you know, fill the machine up and I come back at the end of the month and pick it up.
Yeah,
you know, so it was easy.
How spread out are they? Because I know you talk about location. We'll get into that. Mm-hmm. Are they in the same area or are they spread out throughout the city?
Same area.
Okay.
So at this point, they're all in the same area.
So that's easy. You just go collect.
Yeah, and they were all in places because you know the way I got my first ones is this network and talking to people I know. So they were all in places I already be at.
Okay.
Like I already spent time at that recreation center. That's where I play basketball at.
Yeah.
The barbershop it was in was the barbershop I went to, and the pizza store was down the street from my house. Yeah. So it was just like, you know, convenient.
Yeah, but I had to watch somebody like kicking the machine. Like, yo, man, easy.
Yeah, I had people try to put stuff in the machine and turn, and I'll just watch them like, And sometimes it will work. And actually, in one situation with the recreation center, the kids knew how to get something out without putting a quarter in there. I can never forget. To this day, I don't know what they were doing because I thought it was broke, but it wasn't broke. They just had some type of trick.
We had a dollar trick in high school with the vending machines. We'll talk about that after.
I tried a dollar trick with a vending machine. We can't talk about that.
So, all right. So you're making a little, not really making any money, but it's like whatever. Mm-hmm. But then you realize that vending machines is actually where the money's at, right?
Not yet. So with the candy machines, I get to the point where now it ain't making no money, but I'm like, yo, if I could just multiply the amount of machines I have, then maybe I could see something. Mm. So I ended up, long story short, I kept buying those candy machines to the point where I have around 20 of them, like 20, 25. And now at this point, that's spread out throughout the city.
Yeah, so you're thinking like four got you 150. You multiply those, you probably get like $1,000. Let's say you get 20, you probably get like $1,000 of them.
Exactly. I was getting around $900 to $1,000 a month off of those 20 machines.
Off the gumbo.
So now that was moving the scale, and I feel that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right, well, at that point I'm like comfortable, you know, I'm cool. I'm gonna just keep buying these little gumball machines, you know, keep doing what I'm doing. But then I had when I went to go buy a new one, a new gumball machine, the guy was doing vending machines. I guess he had started off with gumball machines itself. He was like, man, why don't you ever get into the, you know, buying vending machines? This part, at this point, this was like the fourth or fifth gumball machine I had brought up of him. And I'm like, you know, I thought about that before. I tried it before. It didn't really work out. And I'm kind of comfortable now just doing these because it's easy. Mm. And I know if I get into the soda machines and the vending machines, it's more work.
More work.
And I wasn't trying to do more work because I was already working enough at that time with my job. So... but he talked me into it, and that's the point where I got into the actual vending machines and ended up getting brought a soda machine off of him and got it placed in a motel. It was a motel.
What was the price of that?
It was $900.
Okay.
For a soda machine.
That's really 1 month of gumballs.
Yeah, basically like a whole month's worth for a gumball.
Oh, you're gonna. Sorry. So you get that, you put it in the motel, and how's that work out for you?
So it actually started off slow. Looking at, you know, what I get now, like it started off slow, but to me it didn't seem bad. So that first 2 weeks I had it in there, the soda machine in there, I made about $50. But at that point in time with the gumballs took me a whole month to make $50 off of one machine. So I'm like, all right, well, if I get 50 in 2 weeks, maybe 2 weeks I get 100, which is double what I'm doing with the gumballs, so it ain't that bad. Like it ain't nothing I live off of, but it ain't that bad. But after I got into like that second and third month, that the vending machine got up to the point where it was doing around $650, $700 just off of that machine for that month. So that's when it kind of hit me like, all right, well, this might be something. This is something different.
Yeah.
I'm saying, and I started leaning more towards that. And I ended up getting another machine. I got a snack machine and had it placed in the same place, in the same motel.
So you had two machines in the same place.
So I had two machines in the same place, and that one did the exact same thing. Started off slow, and then it picked up to the point where it was doing around $700 a month. So from that one location, I was earning about
$1,400,
you know, gross.
From two machines.
Now is that $1,400 supplementing what you were doing from your actual job?
So my actual job at that point, without overtime, I was only getting about $1,600.
So now you got almost, you equaling your job. You're not doing nothing, just from two machines.
Right, and that's when it hit me, like this is something you need to do. Like, get more, get more of these, and, you know, and grow. And then, you know, and at that time, I just wanted out of my job so bad. It was like, if I get more of these, I get enough, you know, I could stop working and then, you know, enjoy some free time. Like, you know, that was my thing, just chasing, you know, freedom.
Dope. And then you said, and then from there, you just went all in.
Yeah, so from then, from that point, I found I got a high school, got that spot, ended up getting another. I had two machines placed in that high school. Now the high school did the same thing that motel did as far as numbers, very close anyway. Mm. And then so that point, I'm past what I'm getting at work, and then I had another spot contact me and wanted a machine placed, and at that point, I left my job.
Hmm. So, was it your former high school? Because I know the barbershop you went to.
Exactly.
So you went back to your former high school?
Exactly.
So what age were you when you left your job?
26 or something like that.
So 26, you go out and you're just a full-time entrepreneur. How did it feel? How did it feel to be a full-time entrepreneur?
You know what? It felt good, but it doesn't. The difference is, well, when you're working, it's like, all right, well, I know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
When you're an entrepreneur and you're just out here.
Yeah.
It's like, flexible, yo, man. you gotta grind it. Like, because you don't know what you're going to get. Now, with the machines, it was pretty stable in terms of income. But when stuff slowed down, my bills are still due. Like, my stuff is still the same. So it's just like, you got to learn how to budget that money different, because it's not going to come in on a consistent basis. So you kind of got to get a feel for, like, as the months go by, you know, some months is going to be higher, some months is going to be lower. Once you figure that pattern out, it's easier. But then it's like, you kind of got to go through the rough times to figure that out.
Yeah, nah. I'm glad you said that, because that's true in any business. It's like, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, it's like walking a tightrope with no safety net. Like, you never know one false move and you're screwed. And it's like, people don't understand that anxiety, unless you're an entrepreneur,
right?
Because as like you said, you got a job. I mean, you have anxiety as your job because you can get fired, but it's different. Because like, all you got to do is show up and you're gonna get a paycheck
and perform. Some people, they got to perform at the job.
Sometimes.
I'm trying to help us, man. Not a problem. I'm trying to help us.
Nah, I'm just saying, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, but, you know, to say that, you know, I ended up with, and, you know, with like what you're saying, like, so at that point where I was doing that, I got to the point where I'm doing it full time, and then whatever could go wrong went wrong.
Yeah.
So I had saved up a good portion of money, like, before I even quit my job, but I ended up getting married. So I got married, spent that, right? So I'm like, it's cool though, because the way my money coming in, it's like, I'm gonna get it right back.
Yeah.
But then as soon as we got finished the wedding and everything, I lost my top spots. So I lost my, I lost my main top spots, my motel.
The motel got closed down.
Got shut down. So that was a hard hit. And then the summer hit, my school slowed down. So
the kids aren't there.
Right, the teachers aren't there. So yeah, the school goes from making $1,000 or whatever, you know, $1,400, it goes down to like $400 or something.
That's the
like
first time I ever thought about that.
You know, something crazy. Like, now that's like, man, I got to go back to work. Like, so at that point, I went back to work, put, you know, my tail between my leg, went back to work, and then, you know, started working, saving, and trying to rebuild. And I started getting more spots and, you know, so on and so forth.
Nah, and I like what you said also. You said, I saw on Instagram, you said, why have a second job when you can start your first business?
Right.
And that's true, like, as far as like side hustle. It's like, people use the word side hustle all the time, but it's like, what does that really mean, right? It means like you said, as far as you might have a regular job, but that doesn't mean you can't be an entrepreneur either. It's like, you can create another income stream for yourself while you're still working in your other job until you feel comfortable jumping off the porch and just doing that full time if you want to.
Yeah, and on that same note, I think you have to get to the point where your job, not your job, where your business is making enough to actually pay you. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's one thing is that you're getting the money in. Like, is it enough to pay you? So that's kind of where I was at, because the way I was growing my business is I was taking, at this point, the way I was growing, I was taking my money from my job, right? And I was using that for my bills. And anything I got off the machines, I was putting directly
back into getting
more machines, and it kind of helped me grow faster. Yeah. Versus if I was just doing that, if I had just kept doing that, just doing that by itself, it was like it would have been a slower pace in order to grow.
We've been saying that all week, man. And when we talk about multiple streams of income, we always talk about the theory like one is too close to none. So if you got one, that means that goes away, you're done.
Right.
The more you can make, the more you can have. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's a good idea, and that's something I just thought about. As far as like, if you're working a regular job and you have a side business or a business outside of your regular job, yeah, that business, you might not actually be able to get any money from that business if you actually are growing it. But that's another benefit of having the job as well, because now you're not pressured. Like, if you just only a entrepreneur, you're pressured.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got a family to take care of. You got, you know what I mean? You got bills, a mortgage, rent, whatever. You can't just say, all right, guys, we're not going to eat this month because I'll put the money back into the business. Like, so that takes a little bit of pressure off you.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's never about you can't run anybody else's race.
Right.
So like, a lot of times you see on social media and it's like people try to compare themselves to other people. And it's like, you don't know, A, what's real or what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And B, you got to move at your pace. So
right.
It might not be time for you to just completely quit your job yet. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Yeah, like,
I'm living it right now. Right?
I think it's a mindset thing too, because I think, you know, the reason I even post stuff like that is because it's not really like people don't have the knowledge or, you know, can't do this or can't do that. It's like you got. It starts with the mindset. Like, you got to have the right mindset to look at things the right way. You know what I'm saying? I know another post that I put up, and this is something that is. It's been bothering me because people commented on it every day, and I probably made about 3 or 4 videos about it, and people still comment, like, saying, like, so the thing says 100K, right? And then if you want to make 100K a year, and it breaks down, all right, well, if you want to make 100K a year, you got to make this a month, this a week, a day, right? And they looking at it, like, and they'll say stuff like, all right, well, what about like the expenses, or what about this, what about that?
Yeah.
Oh, how are you working 24 hours? I'm like, well, you're just looking at it wrong. Like, who says those numbers aren't profit? Like, who says that 100K isn't? It could be, you could make 100 profit, you know what I'm saying? And who says you have to work 24 hours? Like, in this case, with this, you know, business in particular, if I have machines out there, I'm not working. The machines are doing the work for me. I'm just...
Gotta make money while you sleep, man.
Right. Yeah. Like, so people don't look at it that way. You have to look at it, you know, the right way in order to be successful.
Well, everybody's an expert on social media, and they always look to see like the wrong thing. They'd be like, everything, like, oh, you misspelled this. You like you get the point of it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
What about the gas or something?
Yeah. There's always a critic. But all right, so that's the backstory. So now in the next segment, we're gonna go into what EYL is known for. We're gonna break it down and answer some questions and give some free game as far as how people can, you know, get information on the vending machine business. All right. So now we're going to get into some details. So, all right. So for vending machines, right? First question is, how much does a vending machine cost?
So it could range. So, I mean, the cheapest you're going to find it is always going to be somewhere around $1,000 if you're using a used machine versus if you're coming in with something new, you're looking at about $5,000.
$5,000 for a brand new one.
Brand new, top of the line,
so,
type of thing.
New or used? I didn't even know that there were new or used machines. Where do we even get this? Like, where am I finding a new machine? Where do I go?
So, I mean, new machines you could get from like the manufacturers actually making like Coke, Pepsi, like those type of places. You could buy them straight from them. Those are where the new machines come from.
And we're talking about actual what? I mean, there's different types. We're talking about food vending machines.
So we're talking about sodas, snacks. They do have food. They have ice cream machines. There's a lot of different types.
Okay.
So if you're talking about used machines, which is, you know, I use used machines, and that's what I recommend everybody else to use, mainly because it's easier to maintain and it's a lot more affordable. Like, the price is nowhere close to, you know, $5,000. You can get a used machine for around $900, which my first machine was.
Okay.
And you can find those on places such as like Craigslist, OfferUp,
Amazon,
Letgo. It might be a little more on Amazon.
Okay.
And then the only reason I would say not to get it off like a platform where it's like online, because I would recommend you checking the machine out first. You don't want to get it where you don't want to put it.
You don't know.
And then it's not working right, and then you have to ship it back. Like, that's a long process.
So you said Letgo?
Yeah.
Like, what's that?
So it's an app.
It's an app?
Yeah. So Letgo, OfferUp, Facebook Market. Mm-hmm. But it just depends. And another thing is it matters is, How are you trying to scale this? Do you want this to be on some side hustle, passive income stuff, or do you want to grow it into like a full-time business? Because if you're just doing it as a side hustle just to earn some extra bread on the side, you know, using those resources such as like, you know, Craigslist is fine. But if you really want to do it like full-time, you want to find like what I call vending warehouses. So a vending warehouse is just a vending company that is large enough to sell you vending machines. So that's kind of how we make our money on the back end. I might have some machines sitting around, and then I'll sell those to anybody who's looking to buy them.
Where do you find vending warehouses?
So you would have to Google vending machine companies in your area,
okay,
and then contact them and see if they sell.
So it's machines. All like regional. It's all regional.
Yeah.
So after I order, I'm thinking to myself right now, I'm ordering a machine. Probably need the location first, right? Because they're not going to send that to your house. Right, so do they send it to, like, what happens after I order it?
So you could pick the machine up first, but I recommend to people always get the machine after you have the location for multiple reasons. Because if you go out and you get excited, okay, I'm going to vending thing, I see a cheap soda machine, this is a great deal, you buy it, maybe you got it in your garage or something like that, you don't know what type of location you're going to get first. So that means you don't know what that location is going to need. Maybe they already got a soda machine. Maybe they need a snack machine.
Maybe it won't fit.
Right. And then that's another thing. You don't know what the measurements are for that space they have to put the machine. So it could be the machine you make, you could have maybe too big. Maybe it's too big to fit through the doorway. Maybe it's too big for the space that they actually want the machine. So it's always best to wait until you get that location, you know, on paper. And then you go out and get your machine. But on the flip side, you also want to know your resources first. Like, you want to know where you're getting that machine from prior to, you know, finding your location.
So, like, what's some typical, are they like typical profit margins? Like, how much money should a person expect to make off of like one machine?
So, an average, a good location, you'll see around $500 per machine. Right, most locations have two machines. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's like a combo. If most of the time, if you'll find a combo machine, it's in a smaller space because they can't fit two machines, or it's because maybe it's lower traffic, and you don't want to put two machines in there. You know, that type of situation.
So like $1,000 if you have two machines in one location.
Yeah, that's about right.
When you had to find locations, you obviously looked at your life. You said, "Look, I play ball here. I'm gonna put one here. That's my high school, that's my barbershop." What does the average person have to do in terms of finding locations?
So step one, now to be honest with y'all, like, I had experience in like different marketing beforehand, so I was already kind of
seasoned
with networking and reaching people and calling and all that type of stuff.
Some wholesaling.
Huh?
Were you doing wholesaling?
I did do wholesaling. Yeah. So I used
real estate.
Yeah. Okay. So I used those same type of tactics to find locations because I learned a lot from actually going out and trying to find properties. You know what I'm saying? When I was doing the wholesaling thing. So the first thing I did was network. So I reached out to everybody around me, all my friends, all my family members, let them know what I was doing. And just through doing that, it led me to having like my first few locations. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I ended up getting a school. Like you just named, which is my prior high school. I talked to them. You know, they let me place a vending machine in there, and it led me to, you know, getting a few other spots.
You know, I'm just thinking about it. A lot of places that they have two vending machines, like a community center, a school. Yeah, you have two vending machines.
Yeah.
Never thought about that before.
Sorry
to cut you off. Yeah. You can have two vending machines right next to each other. Like, one is sodas and drinks.
Yeah.
The other one is candies and chips and stuff.
Yeah, they're always like right next to
each other. Mm-hmm. So that's not bad if you think about it. Like, $1,000, that's like, you could be getting rental income.
Easy.
But it's a lot less overhead as far as buying a home.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. Two things. Well, first is, when these big corporations, like, if I see a Coca-Cola machine, right, that's a vending machine. Can I purchase that from it? Or is the corporation putting that in a location? Because you could have two vending machines, and then they have all Coke products. Mm-hmm. Can you purchase that?
Can you purchase it from who?
From like Coca-Cola. Is that like a thing? Can you get a vending machine from a corporation?
You're talking about as far as if the machine is placed somewhere or if they're just manufacturing the machines.
Well, so I'm thinking in terms of, I have my vending machine, I have two of them there, and then there's like a Coke machine that sells Coke products. Is that something that, like, the average person can purchase, or is it just straight from a corporation?
So Coke actually places machines themselves.
Okay.
So, but what they'll do is they actually just will place the machine, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the person, they would have to like charge a certain amount in products. So the products, once you buy a certain amount of products from Coke, they'll get a place of vending machine for free.
Mm.
So, and then they'll service it or whatever. Like, so, if you're talking about like if that machine is there, more than likely your machine won't be there because they'll have some type of contract with Coca-Cola, and they're not gonna let nobody else in there.
So as far as location, because I know you said that you had a couple different keys: foot traffic, isolation, waiting rooms. So all of these different things. But before you even get to that, how do you approach somebody to put a vending machine in their place? Like, all right, so you see a school. Like, what's the process to say, hey, can I put a vending machine here?
Can I talk to the principal?
Like, who? Yeah, like, how does that work?
So that's a good question, man. That's a lot of questions everybody asks. But all I really do is I'll approach whoever the receptionist is at that first point of contact, and I'll ask them who I need to speak to place a machine here. So it's usually the person, like everybody usually has a person who's in charge of doing business. Mm-hmm. So the high school has a business manager. I had to talk to them. So if I'm going into a motel or something, most of the time they have a business manager, you talk to them. So it's just about asking that first point of contact. Obviously, if you could find a manager or something like that, reach who you could reach, but then ask that person who's the person that I have to talk to that actually makes the decision.
So once you get in the high school or you get into the recreation center, is there a fee that you have to pay for being there? Or is just part of the profit margin you have to give to the place? Like, how's that work?
So it's all about, from my experience, it's all about how you get that spot. Mm-hmm. So if you have, you can have different resources you're using to get locations, mm-hmm. right? If one thing that you could do is you go out yourself and you actually look for locations. Like, when we talk about the wholesaling thing, it's called like driving for dollars. Mm-hmm. Like you heard of that term before,
yep,
right?
Yep.
So that's a method. You go out and drive around. I actually found the laundromat the other day. Just driving around. I wasn't even looking for it, but I just happened to see it. And actually, I put it on Instagram, so I put it on live.
Yeah.
Just to show people, like, this is like, you know, how easy it is to find something if you're paying attention to what's around you.
Yeah.
So that's one method. And another method is like cold calling, which is you just make a list of multiple places that may be suitable for a vending machine in your area that you're looking to place one, mm-hmm. like using zip codes or whatever, and you just call them. If you're doing that method, most of the time I found when you found like a location like that, they ask for a commission because you're asking to come into their space and right. do business. Like you're asking for something from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Now, on the flip side, you go to a website, right? The most common thing people do is when they're looking for vending services, if you just opened up your store, your business or whatever it may be, just Google. So they go right to Google, vending machine service in Philadelphia. My joint is like one of the top ones on there. So you click on that, they call you, they contact you, and then they're gonna ask you to place a vending machine in their place of business.
Oh, okay.
So in that scenario, most of the time they don't ask you for a commission because they just want your service. They want your service for their customers or for their employees or for whatever reason. It's just like, yo, we just want your service. We're not worried about commission.
So if you approach them, you gotta pay them.
Most of the time.
If they approach you, you don't have to pay.
Most of the time. Most of the time, that's how that goes. Now, it also depends on what type of place it is, because if you're dealing with, like, recreation centers and schools, a lot of times those facilities are deprived of funds already, so they're always looking for different ways to supplement, some income. So they're going to bring that up.
So what kind of commission is fair? Like, if somebody, like I'll let you put it here, but you got to give me 20%, 10%. Like, what's a fair amount that...
A fair amount really depends on the traffic in that location, but it typically is around 10%.
10%.
Yeah, 10% is like a fair amount most of the time if it's a good location.
All right, so you sit down, you say, we can have the vending machine here. What we do next? Are we drawing up a contract?
Right, so at the point where they give me the person of contact and they say they're interested and I'll schedule a meeting with them. So we'll sit down like we're talking now. I'll have a proposal, which is something I came up with just from doing the meetings, and it's all the information is in the proposal, which just cuts down the meeting time. So, in there it's just about your business, a little bit about yourself. You wanna put the products that you use, what makes you different than other companies, your price points for your products, just present all that to them. And then, if they like that, then I also have the contract there. So, and if they're good with the contract, we sign it right there, do the deal right there. Now, sometimes it doesn't go that way. Sometimes they might want certain contingencies or whatever in the contract. So if they want that, then obviously you have to go back and draw up a new contract and get them to sign that one.
But I'm thinking of like the school, right? Because I'm thinking like one of the contingencies they might have is like mm-hmm. you can't serve a certain amount of sugary items.
Yeah, exactly,
right?
Exactly.
It has to be healthy options.
Certain products. And then it's like some people will want your actual service hours in there, or they'll want... if something goes wrong, you have to repair it by this amount of time, type of thing. Like, so that stuff is people usually tweak. But for the most part, they just go by what's on the paper.
So, okay. So as far as, let's go back to location. So like you said foot traffic, accessibility, isolation, and waiting rooms. Those are like your four golden mm-hmm. rules, right?
Hold on 1 second, though. And for the commission thing, I never bring up commission. So never sit down with a location and say, all right, well, this is the amount that we pay in commission. If they don't mention it.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no.
Don't give them money.
No. Because some people think that. They'll, that's like they pitching, like, point is, like, we can pay you this much in commission, but don't mention that.
Because it's not necessary. No, that's a good point. Because you might automatically assume that you have to pay because you're in their space. But right. Like you said, it's kind of like an attraction where it's like, my son goes to camp, and every time I pick him up, he's like, can you give me something from the vending machine? So it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like the vending machine is actually helping in that situation because it's like service. People, you might just walk into a space just to use the vending machine.
Yeah. Right.
So that, and I'm thinking about from the business standpoint, having a school during the year is great. Having a recreation center during the summer, gold mine. Right. That's all kids want.
Well, no. So recreation centers during the school year are good too. Because they have different programs and
right.
And they have basketball games and stuff.
We got some
and
people to talk to, Sean.
Yeah. So, all right. So location. Location is the most important thing with real estate, period. And I guess this is no different from vending machine either, right? You got the best vending. You could be giving away gold bars if it's in the desert. Doesn't matter. So how do you know what's a good location? I mean, obviously. Well, I'm going to say obviously. How do you know what's a good location or not?
So, I mean, from what you just mentioned, but I picked them up as time went on, just noticing different things. So when I'm walking into a location, I go with a checklist. I don't really use it anymore because I kind of like know now, but it's best to have a checklist and use this, and this is what you want to look for. So you want to look for, when you pull up to the space, is there any stores around that building? So when I say isolation, that's what I'm talking about. So I'll take a lap or two laps around. See, I'm looking for corner stores. I'm looking just for other places to eat. All right. So if I don't see no other places to eat, I'm like, okay. So that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then when I walk in the door, I'm looking, in terms of moving, I'm looking for steps and all that type of stuff because you have to move the machine in there. But in terms of what makes it a good location, I'm looking to see where the machine will be placed. All right. So I'm like, all right, well, is it placed somewhere where it's visible and people can see it? Because I had one situation where it was a hotel wanted me to put a machine in there, but they wanted the machine like in the back, way in the back where nobody would see it. And on the flip side, I had a gas station right next door. So when I was watching, I'm watching people come in and they just making a left, turn right out, go right to the gas station. I'm like, nah, that's not gonna work. Because
the gas station is the place now that they're gonna get
that
the snacks
they see.
From.
They see the gas station because it's right, because it was a big glass, you know, door, obviously, and it's right there.
Right.
Versus if that machine was placed in the lobby, they just would've used the machine. Then nobody wants to walk all the way over there if you ain't got to.
Only the night shift.
Right, so you know, that's real important. It's important is it being visible and it being accessible to everyone. So if everybody can use it, if it's visible, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm looking for is hours of operation. So how long is this place open? Like you said, night shift, some places are open 24 hours, mm-hmm. right? That gives you more sales versus it only being open for
nine to five.
Like, so that's another important
cafeteria
piece.
Cafeteria closed now. Yeah.
Right, so, and then probably the last thing I'm looking for is, foot traffic, right? Which is this is the most important thing. You want to see how many employees they got, how many people are visiting this place, how many people are in and out coming past this machine.
Yeah. One of the things you said, and as you said it, I was like, wow, that's brilliant. Places that have ideal time where people are just waiting. So obviously like a hospital. But when you just said laundry, man, I'm thinking like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes. Like people are sitting in there all day watching machines go.
Yeah,
no, laundromats are big. Schools are big.
Yeah.
Recreation centers are big. Hospitals are big.
Hospitals are huge.
I'm thinking that's the number one.
Office buildings are big.
Dorms.
Yeah, college dorms. Campuses. College dorms are big.
These are just
Yeah.
So
to name a few.
And to give an example, is Temple. We have a Temple dorm. Guy I was doing business with. That location does around 3,500. A month?
How many machines?
Two machines.
Two. You know what? I mean, college kids don't have a lot of money, and they don't have transportation. So if you put the vending machine,
right, and that's you. That's your machines.
Those two are mine. It's the guy. Actually, I know we were talking a little off camera.
Yeah.
So another guy, one of my first mentee.
Okay.
I helped him find a spot, and that was the spot that we got.
Damn, $3,500. That's good bread.
Right. Two machines.
Mm-hmm.
Two machines. $3,500, and then on top of that. Since that building is built the way it built, it could be more machines placed in there.
And you said there's a difference in what, I mean, the older machines don't have something that's very important that you said, and that's the card readers, right? Because now a lot of people don't have cash, but they do have cards to use.
So what we do is we'll take the older machines and add upgrades to them. So we might change the door. We might use what we call like the LED lighting. So, you know, the little light strips, put that in the door, it makes it a little brighter.
Yeah.
And we could add the card readers, but we would just have to change what's in there. It's called a circuit board.
Okay. Expensive?
A circuit board costs about $200. Oh. Card readers are about $400. So you're looking at, to use that is about additional $600. But on the flip side, those usually increase your sales by at least 30, 40%. Like, so, you know, it's worth it actually getting those on there if, you know, you plan on doing it on a serious note.
So, okay. So as far as installation, right, how do you know which products to put? So you just buying a machine and you can put anything in the machine, correct?
Anything you want.
How do you know which products do you do? Like, okay, I like Doritos, so... Or like, how do you know like which is a good product?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Cause my first location that I got when I said it was only doing only a few dollars or whatever, I was putting in there what I like. You know what I'm saying? So I had what I like.
Yeah,
I'm walking through Sam's Club like, okay, this is good. But after a while, I was like, no, you have to put in what they want. So what I like to do is on my first, if it's an office building or something like that, I'll use a newsletter. And I'll send out a newsletter introducing my services, and I'll give them an opportunity to tell me what they want in the machine. Mm. That's like step one. Mm. Other than that, it really comes down to demographics. Like just, you know, certain demographics, certain
you mean, groups. No avocado toast in there?
Certain groups of people like certain things. So from my experience, I know if I'm dealing with a mostly like Caucasian group, they tend to like more of like the plain chips and like the for real.
It's no spice, more, no spice.
More of the plain chips, whereas though if I'm dealing with others, it might be more like, you know, the flavorful barbecue type
of joint. So you got Takis in there.
Yeah, man, it just depends. It depends where you're at. But it is definitely best to always let the people tell you what they want.
And the inventory you're actually going to get, right? So right. Like you are going to these warehouses, I'm assuming? Or so you're not in the supermarket?
I go to Sam's Club. Okay. So I mostly shop at Sam's Club. But I do have a warehouse that I go to get products. Now, the thing with Sam's Club is, it's good if you're just doing it like small scale, but if you're buying like variety boxes of chips and whatnot,
yeah.
they're going to put the good chips in there. Then they're going to put like a bullshit ass.
They always do that.
Selection in there.
And that's the one that never sells.
And that's the one that's not going to sell. So when you're doing that, you know, on a larger scale, you have to keep buying those boxes and boxes. It's like, all right, well, that's making me lose money.
Yeah.
So when you get to a certain point, you could just cut that out. And then if you go find a source, you could just get the straight fire products, but it's, you have to buy it in a larger quantity. Mm. So that box of Sam's Club comes in a box of 30 most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas though, if I buy that in the larger quantity, I got about 64, a box of 64 of all one selection, which is going to cost you more money because now you have to put that variety box. It's going to take about 4 or 5 rows because there's different chips in there.
Yeah.
Versus it just being one whole box of one product. That's only one row of a product.
How often are you changing the machines?
Weekly.
Weekly?
Weekly.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're doing it more than once a week, you probably need a bigger machine. If you're not doing it once a week, you probably need a smaller machine.
And so how do you know what to charge? Because you can charge anything. I just found that out. You can charge anything.
Setting
right?
The prices.
Yeah, you set all your own prices. And it, once again, it just comes down to demographics. It comes down to the region, the area you actually, you know, working in. I know if we're over here in New York, my candy bars are going to be about $2. But if I'm in Philly over there, it's going to be about $125. But the main thing I'm looking at is I'm looking at my return on investment, like my
ROI.
ROI. So I'm like, if I'm spending X amount, I want at least double that. So at minimum, I'm doubling when I'm paying for the products.
Okay.
But I'm actually, I always try to reach like the triple. I try to, you know, get the 300% mark of what I'm actually paying back, what I'm actually paying for the product. So whatever I'm investing, I'm trying at least.
So if I buy a candy bar for $1, I need to charge $3. In the vending machine. Just using that as like an example, a rough example.
Yeah,
obviously, you're not going to charge $2 for a candy bar, but right. I'm just saying.
They did that at my job. Like, I went to the vending machine and the 65-cent bag of chips is now $5.
Is it really
$5? $5?
I'm going to send you the picture. I was like, no, this is a joke, right?
Impossible.
I'm going to send you the picture. It was ridiculous. I'm like, wait, huh?
Impossible.
Yeah.
I'll send you the picture.
Yeah,
no joke. Sure. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
What kind of chips are they?
Sal's? You ever ate those? You know Sal's chips?
No, what, how big is the bag of chips?
It's the 60, like the normal 65 cent bag of chips.
Nah, it's impossible.
So it's like a 2 ounce bag? It's like 1.7 or something?
I will send y'all the picture.
Man. Nah, it's impossible.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, that's crazy. But they do, you know, people do that. I mean, I've never seen $5.
I've seen that's like the airport. Know, that's more expensive than the airport.
Like
yeah.
If you get a location like the airport or like the hotels, you could really charge more for those.
Oh, you can get vending machines in the airport. Yeah. That's where you make money. Yeah, airport so, prices is just ridiculous just because it's at an airport.
Just for the food, though. Because now they got the vending machines that sell electronics, too.
Yeah, so that's another thing I wanted to touch on, too. It's like you could think outside the box and get creative. You could sell anything out of a vending machine. You could sell electronics. Somebody I found online was selling knickknacks out of the vending machine in the airport, and she was making $8,000 a year. Oh,
wow. What's a knickknack?
So, like, the stuff that, you know, you might get while you're in that city or whatever, like, those little whatever.
Like, little trunkets and, like, little like it was welcome like little, to L.A., little, I love New York
little
things.
Little charms and stuff like that. And she had, like, balled up T-shirts in there, like, you know, making good money. Like, just thinking outside the box. I also
it's like,
see
it's like the sneaker one. Like, nobody ever wins sneakers, the sneaker one, but you put $2 to try to do it every time.
Right. Like, so it's a lot of different things you could put in there if you could really, like, get creative with it.
What's the craziest one you've seen?
Craziest one.
You had one on your page in Dubai. They have gold bars.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one though. But yeah, I've seen like
It's
gold bars.
You could buy gold bars, right. Or pieces of gold.
I don't know why you want to buy it, but you know
it's Dubai. Everything. Yeah.
Let's go to the vending machine and get some gold, yeah.
Yeah, but you know it's a lot of crazy ones out there, man. I've seen some where they selling water. I seen pizza. It's a pizza vending machine.
There was it was an article about that. They put that on college campuses. Where it makes a pizza in like 90 seconds or something.
They had a Plan B machine on college campus.
Another college campus
college
item.
Plan B machine. I forgot, and it's actually not far from here.
Yo, that's actually, honestly.
The contraception machine.
No, yeah. That's not a bad idea. No, that's the contraception machines are not a bad idea. You have condoms?
They used to put them in the bathroom. Remember you used to put a quarter and then y'all don't remember that?
I never seen
that. Nah, I haven't seen that.
It's a little old school. It's like you put a quarter and you get a contraception.
Condom. Wow. Yeah. Is that even legal to have a point? Cause all right. Different
time. I know they got them out there. We're gonna do it's the like research. Like hair weave and eyelashes. So
you know what? What about medical marijuana? Oh, just marijuana. Yeah, period.
That too. They got those out in California. They got the marijuana. So I'm not exactly sure how those operate because you know that's regulated. So you need ID and whatnot.
Yeah.
Security at that machine.
Probably.
So,
yeah.
You
know,
that's a little different. But they do have those out there.
What about vandalism? Like if somebody destroys your machine. How does that work? You have insurance on it? Or
yeah, I haven't. I had that happen before once, but yeah, so basically, if somebody destroys it, messes it up, if you got insurance on it, then you cover it. If not, you know.
You can go through any insurance company, Geico, State Farm, anything like Liberty?
I'm not sure if it's any. I know State Farm is one. But yeah, it's just regular insurance companies cover it.
Is it pricey?
No, it's not pricey at all. It's not pricey at all.
So you would recommend always having that?
I would definitely recommend having insurance. But the thing is, when you actually go through the process of picking out a good location, if you're meeting the criteria, it's hard to do vandalism because if the machine is somewhere open and somewhere is, you know, and if a place is always, you know, has long hours, most of the time they have security, and most 9 times out of 10, that vending machine is somewhere near that security, like wherever it's sitting at in the lobby somewhere. So it's always going to be somewhere where people see it. And like it's always, if it's foot traffic, it's going to be, if it's good foot traffic, then people are always going to be around. So it's hard to vandalize, you know, machines.
Or some place with cameras.
Yeah. Yeah,
like a school or community center, something
right.
Like that.
Mine's happened more so when I had it in that motel we was talking about. Yeah. When it shut down, it was like when I went back, it was over.
What's the lifespan of a machine?
That's a great question. I mean, I have some machines I haven't had any issues with like since I had, and some of them you get is just like problems. I had one machine in particular that's always giving me a problem. I actually switched it out recently.
What type of problems? Like the
mechanical
doesn't dispense the merchandise? Like?
No, so a vending machine really is only about three parts. You got your bill accepted. And a lot of people think like, oh, what about, that's one of the questions I get a lot too. What about the cost of maintenance? The cost of maintenance isn't high at all. Like it's really like, it's rare that something goes wrong with those machines. But you got your bill acceptor, your coin mechanism, which is where you put the coins in, and then you have your board. So your board is like the thing everything is connected to.
Press E4.
No, but that, yeah, basically, but that runs to a little board that's inside the vending machine,
okay.
Right? And those are the main three parts. The coils and stuff don't really, like, those are ran by little motors, but those don't really go bad.
Okay.
Those are typically okay. But the thing that gets the most use is the bill acceptor. Cause people are always putting the bills in there or whatever. I probably switch that out probably every, like, maybe like 2 years or something. But if you're taking care of it the right way, you won't have to do that. I'm bad at that part, but you know, you could have you could order a thing off Amazon. It's like a little sticky. It looks like a sticky card. You put it in there and then pull it out, and it pulls all the dirt and stuff out of the bill acceptor, which helps it keeps it clean. Because what's in there is it's a reader. So once that reader gets too like dirty or too like, you know, beat up, it doesn't work anymore.
So like, how do you? All right. So the money you collect, just, you know, you go in there, but like the credit card. How that goes that in that process, then that goes like directly to like a PayPal account?
It goes directly to a bank account.
The bank account.
Yeah. Oh wow. So yeah, every time somebody uses a credit, it goes right in?
Well, it doesn't go right in, it goes to that service. It goes to that provider's account, then they have a payout date.
And then they similar pay out. Okay,
similar,
all
right. Similar to what you would use like with like a Shopify.
Yeah, all right.
You choose your payout date, and then on those dates you get paid out for whatever card reader sales that you had.
What about the process of buying and selling routes? I know sometimes you said that if there is a slow time, you might want to sell that machine or sell that route. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I mean, in the business, you know, you obviously the bulk of your money is going to come from you selling products out of your machine. But it's also other ways to make money once you get going, which one of the best ways is, like you just said, buying and selling routes. So I might, like for the perfect scenario, the best scenario I had with buying a route and selling it was, I bought a route for $3,500. Now, originally the guy was trying to charge me like $7,000 for it or something like that. I was like, no, I'm okay. I'm not even really in desperate need. I'm not really looking for anything. But, you know, he couldn't sell it. So he came back to me. He was like, you know, I still got this route. I'll give it to you for $35. And I'm like, okay, so I'm looking at it. It's six vending machines. And it's three locations. So I'm like, man, that's like a giveaway. Like,
yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'll take it for $35. So I brought it. I checked out the locations. Two of the locations I didn't like. So I'm like, okay, this location is bad. But it was good machines in there. The other location was bad. One location was good. So what I did was I kept the good location and I sold the other two locations for $35 apiece. So I ended up making a profit of $7,000 off of that situation. Yeah. So that's just another way to make money on the back end. So if you're into buying routes, like you could just buy a route out. Maybe you could keep the machines, you know, sell the machines, or you could just try to sell the machine on location, which is easier to sell them if they already placed. Like that takes work off of the next man.
Is there any way to get a machine for free, like financing, or pay it back on the back end through money that you make in future, or no?
It's a great question. So you can rent machines from the same type of people that I talked about before, as far as like with the, if you're going through a vending warehouse, they do allow you to rent machines sometimes. If you look online, you can find some people that rent machines as well. I don't really suggest doing it because it gives you like an overhead. You know, but you know, if that's your way in, then that's your way in. You know what I'm saying? But you could also once you get to a certain point in the business, like I mentioned before, with Coca-Cola and Pepsi, one of the programs that they have is once you buy a certain amount of their product, they give you machines. But it has to be on contract.
So like when you say like buy their products, like,
so you're putting their sodas in your machine.
So right. you gotta buy like $10,000 worth of Coke.
It's not $10,000, but it's like, it's definitely a good amount. And you have to buy, you're committed to buying that amount at least, at minimum, every month. But they'll give you the vending machine for free because obviously it's helping them. It's helping you move that product, you know, but that's a way to get free vending machines too. But that's not, you probably won't do that until like, you know, later down the line.
All right. What about the contracts? What are the typical lengths of the contract? Is it like 6 months? Is it a year?
About 2 years. I do 2 years.
2 year contract?
Yeah, to 2 year increments.
Dope. All right, well, that was a lot of information for sure. So in the next segment, we're going to bring it home. All right, so we're going to close it out. But before, I got a few questions. So, all right, especially in schools and with kids and stuff like that, what's your thoughts on, because childhood obesity is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your thoughts on, like, junk food? Because you can have healthy stuff in there as well. obviously it's not as popular. Do you ever think about that? Or
yeah, that's something that actually comes up a lot of times in the meetings, like when I'm talking to like the potential locations. So they you know, they always want the healthy selections, which I'm big on healthy selections anyway. Definitely want to give people a choice. So I like to put half traditional, and then I put half healthy.
Okay.
I tried the whole health thing one time.
It didn't go that well.
So I definitely do. I do, like, so my, most of the time a vending machine will have multiple rolls of like two rolls for chips, two rolls for snacks, and then you got your candy roll, whatever. So on my top one, I make half of that like baked or something like, you know.
Like less, a power bar, something like that?
Not for the chips, the but like fat. This, yeah, like something big or something like less
for chips,
fat.
Okay, yeah.
And then once we get to like the candy roll, I just make sure it's like some healthy stuff like trail mix or, like a power bar. So just something that's, you know, it'd be good for something somebody to grab quick that's still healthy for you.
And depending on where you're at, right, like that, you have to take that into account as far as inventory, because like you said, in Philly, I got a sugar tax,
mm-hmm, right?
So when buying stuff, you got to take that into account,
right,
too.
And we also have a old people's home. So, you know, in there, I can't put a lot of sugar stuff. So it really just depends on where you're putting that machine at, but it definitely always comes up in the conversation when you're placing a machine is having healthy selections. Everybody wants healthy selections, and I think that's more so a big wave now.
In
the direction that we're going as a you know,
country.
As a country, yeah. It's getting more healthy stuff out there. So, you know.
Yeah.
You are the food source for a lot of us. Like a lot of us don't have time to go out for lunch. It's like, yo, let me just grab something quick.
Right. And you want to make sure they at least got the choice to get something healthy versus having to get something, you know, it's not good for you.
So like ramen noodles and stuff like I've seen that in there.
I had those in there.
So what's your sweet spot? Like, cause I know you said you don't like perishable goods for obvious reasons, because they expire. Does candy expire?
Yes,
it has an expiration date. It's a long one though.
Yeah,
like a long time though, right?
Yeah, it takes a while, but it depends on the conditions, like your temperature and all that. So if you in the summertime, Snickers bar in the sun, they ain't gonna last too long, because they just once it resets. Most of the time, when it resets and into being like the regular form, it's like not really molded, but it's just like discolored and it doesn't look appealing for people to eat. They not gonna eat it.
So you try to have your but it's always inside though, right? You try like air conditioned.
Most of the time it's in time, but I'm more so talking about like storage. So it depends where you're storing your stuff too.
I never thought about that. You got to store it. Do you just buy it as you go?
I store it, but when I first started, I was just buying it as I go.
So your living room was full of boxes.
I got a spot in my crib where I like something similar to like this area here, but like a little smaller. That whole area was filled with snacks.
Okay,
but you know, if you buy it as you go, it's a little easier. But once you get it down to a science, the thing about buying it as you go is you got to take trips to the store every week. Like, so you really want to figure out how much you need. So you could just buy your month's worth and then have it just sitting over there in the corner. So all you got to do is grab the stuff and go fill up the machine versus making multiple trips.
So a full-time day is like, all right, I'm going to schedule. I'm going to go to this location to refill, this location to refill.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, so I do the day before, I'll prep, fill up all my bins. I have bins that I carry the products in. Mm-hmm. Fill up all my bins, pick the spots I'm going to, just knock the spots down one by one. But I pack everything the night before.
Now, it's a one-man show? You doing this by yourself?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I saw you saying, like, as far as the numbers on it, so it's like, I think it's like under six locations is under six machines. Let me see if I have this written down somewhere.
It's like passive.
Passive. Mm-hmm. And then, can you explain that? Like the numbers?
So it really, now, honestly, it depends on your location.
Okay.
Like, obviously, but we're talking about this standard average. Like if you have around six machines, that's kind of still passive. Like that's not going to take up too much of your time. And, you know, you can still get whatever done. Once you get to like around like 10 machines, you more so like on like a part-time type of thing, like if you was working part-time, because it's going to take up a little more time as far as you keeping up with your products and you going to your spots, depending on how far your spots are. Once you get past like 15, that's more like a you know, once you get like 15, 20, you're
getting like a real
like
business,
a full-time
situation.
Yeah, like now you're doing that full-time. Like if you're doing it right, you should be making good money, but that's going to take up a lot of your time.
So if you have 20, if you have 20 machines, theoretically, you should be making like 15,000 around that?
At least
20 on the good end?
At least 15 at minimum. At minimum, you should at least be doing like 10, even if you don't have good locations. Like, you should at least
10 a month.
Right.
Now, the thing about the vending machine thing is it's an interesting situation because it's one of these things where I always say it's never about home runs. It's never about home runs in life. It's about base hits. Like, if you play baseball, you got to get base hits consistently. Mm-hmm. And the vending machine thing is like a base hit. Like, even if you got, you know, a couple going and you're getting 2,000, like, that's 2,000. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. 3,000, whatever. It's like, now that takes pressure off of you. That's a nice passive stream of income. Mm-hmm. You build that up, you know, however large you want it to grow. But it's one of these things that's extremely practical. Everybody has seen vending machines.
Or used it.
Yeah. It's not rocket science. And it's not really that difficult as far as to understand the general idea of it.
I think people think in their minds, like, oh, somebody spent a dollar. Somebody spent $1.25. It's not a lot of money, but enough dollars make sense.
No, you know what? It's not even about that. A lot of times we just mentally psych ourselves out of everything. So it's like, you see a vending machine every single day. How many people have ever thought about owning a vending machine?
Right.
I've never thought about it. You see it. Why not? Somebody owns it.
You're getting killed every summer.
Somebody owns it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why not?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people shy away from it too. Like, even when they think about that idea, it's like they're scared of like the maintenance. They be thinking, okay, well, I don't know how to fix it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not too complicated. But for any business, you're going to have hurdles where you have to figure stuff out. It's no different than that. Like, so once you get it going and you run into an issue, of course, you have to. I mean, YouTube is your friend. You probably can find a solution on YouTube. If not, find a resource to call in and just watch what they do. You know, and most of the time, you know, that's how I learn how to fix machines.
Yeah, are they like, I'm going to ask you that. Like, do you fix it yourself or do you hire like mechanics that specialize in vending machines?
So for the most part, I fix it myself. The only thing I can't fix is the refrigeration units. It's called the compressors. So the compressors are a little more complicated. I don't know how to fix those yet. But like the bill acceptors and the coin mechanisms and like that type of stuff, I can fix those because it's like it's a common thing. And that's most of the time, 9 times out of 10, that's what you're going to be dealing with. If something goes wrong, most of the time it's just like a dollar got stuck, or maybe your bill acceptor went bad. It's just screw it out, put a new one in, screw it back in, like that type of thing.
What's the best item in vending machine history?
Peanut M&M's. For snacks, for drinks, Pepsi. Man, Pepsi sells like
that combo
like,
together
like,
is classic.
Like nothing else.
Peanut M&M's.
You got whatever you selling on everything else, Pepsi is gonna sell double.
I'm a candy guy.
Pepsi sells more than Coke?
Pepsi sells more than anything. Pepsi, like,
really?
Well, everywhere. Everybody I know would do it.
Pepsi. More than water?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your largest profit item is water though.
Yeah.
You make the most off of water.
Off of water.
Yeah. But Pepsi sells like nothing else. Peanut M&M's sell real well too.
What's your favorite?
My favorite Skittles, Starburst, and Peanut M&M's.
Yeah. Peanut. I don't even know if I even had peanut M&M's.
I don't like them personally. Yeah, like, that's what kind of messed me up the first time around. I was like, oh, these ain't good. But you know, when I was stocking
the combination of the Pepsi and the peanut M&M,
butter crunch cookies.
That's not in every vending machine though.
It should be.
Those are smack.
Payday candy bars.
No, that's a niche thing.
And oil and vinegar chips.
That's another niche chip. What are you talking about?
No.
That's a niche
oil
chip.
And vinegar?
Yeah. Like oil and vinegar?
No, that's the chip that gets...
That's not a niche. No. Oil and vinegar is elite. That's elite.
The Lay's chip.
No.
Red bag of Doritos.
Yeah, classic.
That's gone.
Those are moving.
The black popcorn chip bag? That's another item. Plain
the Cooler Ranch.
Plain.
Cooler Ranch.
Plain. Not really Lay's. People like, and where I'm at, people like the Hers. Like plain Hers. they love those.
Yeah.
More
plain chips, Doritos, pretzels also.
Pretzels, depending where they at.
Yeah.
But the Doritos, the peanut M&M's, Pepsi, that's selling no matter. I call those like staple items. Like those items will be in the machine no matter which of them ever happened.
I see sometimes they'll put like the M&M's in one row and then like put them at the next row too, just because.
Because they sell like, if you don't do that, you're going to run out. Like, so that's going to run out. It's like with Pepsi. You know, most of the time you have two rows of Pepsi in the machine.
Just because
it's going to sell faster than anything
else. And then you have to come back once it sells out.
Right. You might even have to come back. It's just going to sell out and then you'll be, you could be losing out on money if that person only came to that machine to get some peanut M&M's. They like, oh, well, I don't want nothing then, type of thing.
Are you moving into other things to put in the vending machine? Like, is there other items that you see in the future? Like, you know what? I might want to go that route.
No, I like keeping it traditional. But I do see, you know, I see a lot of things, you know, I see people coming up with that's real creative. I see some celebrities coming out with different ideas. I know Kylie Jenner just launched like a vending machine with one of them had makeup? Champagne and Skittles.
Oh yeah?
The other one had like her makeup line, which I know is big.
That's not a bad idea either. Makeup, little stuff like that, like chapstick and things like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like you on the run. That's not a bad idea. But yeah, you're never going to lose with beverages. Especially beverages. People always drink stuff.
Yeah.
And candy. It's kind of like a no-brainer.
In the words of Mike, I'm addicted to candy. Yeah. So they always going to be in business with me.
Oh, man. Kashif, I appreciate you coming, man. This was a highly educational episode.
It's a good one.
And I think people are going to enjoy a lot of value from it, man. Can you tell the people how to contact you and any initiatives? So you got education that you do as well, right? You teach people about this.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
So I do have an ebook that I offer online for anybody that's just looking to get basic information on how to start, you know, a successful vending machine business. And for people who are looking to get started like right away, I created the course. Bailey, mainly just walking them through a video course, you know, you can do it at your own pace, just walking them through the steps to get started as well.
So you replicated yourself.
Basically. But you put it on.
Put very it on important tool.
Dope. So that's how long is that course?
I mean, it's at your own pace thing.
Okay.
I would assume it might take you somebody about a month to get through.
So that's a lot of information. So pretty much everything that you need to know from start to finish.
Mainly just the most important thing is just your setup, getting started. And then the next important thing is the location methods. So getting through that, you know, it's a lot of different things to set up, the way you set up. You can run ads. I'll teach people how to run ads on Facebook, on Google, you know, setting up the website, that type of stuff. Like, so that stuff takes a little more time to get through.
A little more advanced.
Yeah.
Advanced. Now, that's dope. We're going to post a link to in our bio on YouTube and Apple, Spotify, wherever you're listening. So if you're interested, you can check that out in the description. But
I'm sure, there will be.
Yeah. So can you tell the people how to contact you, social media handles and all that?
Social media handle is the _ vending _biz. You know, Facebook is the same exact thing. So that's my Instagram and Facebook handle.
Yeah. Troy, housekeeping items?
Yeah, shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. Y'all know that's our Proud to Pay program. We have revamped Patreon, so obviously you know that there is new tiers. And shout out to everybody that has joined. We have Nadia, Eamon, and Roston. I hope I said that right. It has an R in front of it, so I just pretended like it was Boston. So shout out to you for joining at Tier 4, because now you have access to Earn Your Leisure University, which is our online school. And we have weekly webinars 3 times a week. Matt, MG, the mortgage guy, our brother, does his webinar on real estate. And Wednesday we have our guest webinar related to business. And then, you know, Shadi and myself do our Thursday class, which is fun, man. We actually did a class. I did a class with my wife last week.
Yeah, man, I heard about
which
that.
Which is pretty ill, man. She's ill in the world of human resource. So she did a leadership course, which was dope. And yeah, so everybody that's on Tier 4 or 5 and Patreon, you have access to that. And everybody's been supporting our merch too, man. Shout out to y'all. I obviously have the Earn Your Leisure University hoodie on. Shout out to our trademark assets over liabilities. So everybody that's been supporting that, we appreciate you. We love you. And thank you for your support.
Yeah, and don't forget our YouTube channel. Subscribe, like, comment. And we release content daily on YouTube. We break up episodes into micro content. So, yeah, make sure you check out our YouTube channel and subscribe to our Apple and Spotify as well.
Write reviews.
Yeah, like, subscribe, the whole nine. And, yeah, once again, we also will have the link to the course if you want further information on the vending machine business. I think I'm going to get involved in this. Every time I think of something, I'm like, I'm about to get a truck.
Yeah.
I want a mobile home. And then I'm like, you know what? I want to get some, because this is probably the most practical thing that I've heard so far. Like, I think I could start this like tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Like, people think, like, when they hear it, they're like, oh, I want to do that. Like, Earning Leisure is always adding things. I'm like, no, we're saying the same thing in our heads. Like, yo, we could do this. We should be doing this.
Yeah.
So, that's trust me, earners, you're not the only one.
I'm definitely going to get a couple of vending machines. And you got to rock with us when we come to Philly. And we're going to do a live podcast and a workshop. We got a lot of Philly alumni, yeah. So what we do is we on tour right now. So we go to different cities. We just left Atlanta. Shout out to Atlanta. It was crazy. And we're going to hit, like, Chicago, Houston, New York, LA, Toronto, and definitely Philly. Philly's, like, one of our biggest markets. So when we in town, if you in town, definitely link up with us for sure.
Definitely.
For sure.
Snacks is on him.
And the book tip of this week is your ebook called The Vending Biz, correct? Yes. So where can they get that at?
So it's available at howtostartavendingbusiness.com, and I have it available at the, in the link of my the link in my bio on my Instagram page.
Okay, yeah. So check it out, and once again, thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.